My sermon today starts on a par three a few weeks ago with my two sons, Zion 16, Elliot 14. We're at a par three, and I got to be honest with you, if you're watching this, you're like, Judah, I hate golf. You're going to love this sermon, so bear with me. We get to this par three, and I'm already exasperated by my own golfing performance. I hit a 7-iron that was not good at all. I turn and look at the golf cart, and I have a decision to make. Will I set an example of self-control for my boys, or will I get the rage and anger in my heart out of my heart by abusing my golf club? So that is exactly what I chose. I chose the latter. I took this particular 7-iron and I threw it as hard as I could at the golf cart. It immediately snapped in two and everybody on the tee box went silent. And I think my son Zion, 16 years old, said, "Wow, Dad, I didn't know you were that upset." Only followed by my 14-year-old saying, "Wow, Dad, are you okay?" The title of my sermon today is "Your Dad Is Not God." Now, my boys know this very well. Their dad is clearly not God. In fact, sometimes I think my boys wonder, is our dad godly? Right? Is he even godly? That's my title today, "My Dad Is Not God." Now, hopefully that's not news to you. You're watching this and you're like, you know, Judah, this sermon may not be helpful because I have never not for a second thought to myself that my dad is God. Now, some are watching, you're going, I never really had a dad, didn't know my dad. I want to talk to you about a very popular subject from Scripture, very popular, and that is God is likened to a father. But in reality, he's not likened to a father. The Bible reveals to us he is the father. I want to talk to you today about God, your father. God actually, quite literally, is your father. He is a perfect father. He is a flawless father. He is a complete father. He is always predictable. He is the same. You never wake up wondering if your father is still in love with you, if your father is going to listen to you, if your father is going to pay attention to you. God is a father. Now, here's the misnomer I want to settle before we go any further in this particular sermon and message, and that is God is not like a father. God is the father. In truth, good fathers on this planet, in this life, natural physical fathers are, well, they are sometimes on their good moments and their good minutes and their good times are like the good father. But here's what we've got it confused. We believe that God is like our dads. We think God is like our dads. So when we hear the term father in our Western world, oftentimes we conclude we hear father, we hear dad or daddy or papa, whatever it might be in your particular family, in your particular country and continent. The familiar term for father here in the Western world, United States of America, is dad. And I want to say this, that your dad can sometimes be like God, but God is not like your dad. Now, some of you are like, that is really good news to hear. And I think for Zion, Elliot, and Grace, they're probably somewhat encouraged as well that their angry golfing dad is not like what God is. God is not like your dad. Your dad on his best days, if you have a father, is sometimes like God. God is the father. God is the best father. Now, I'm going to take you to basically one verse today. For the next few moments, I'm not going to preach long today. I'm going to take you to one verse, and I'm going to do this intentionally, and here's why. There's a collection of verses. I've done some research. I've got 6, 7, 8, 9 pages of research on God the Father and all the mentions of Father and how there's 15 mentions of Father in one gospel. There's 109 mentions of Father in John's gospel. I think Matthew is 15, John is 109, and the other gospels are somewhere in between. We've looked at all of the mentions of Father, but this is such an important yet simplistic topic and subject. I want us to look at one verse. And I'm hoping at the very least in the few moments we share today that you will leave persuaded that you have a good father. You have a generous father. You have a caring father. You have a loving father. You have an involved father. You have an interested father. You have a focused father. And most importantly, you have a father who is so in love with you. Now, one of my dad's favorite scriptures when he was the pastor of this church was Matthew 7:11. Now, some of you longtime church members know what I'm talking about. My dad loved to quote Matthew 7:11. Now, here's an easy way to remember this verse. Some of you know where I'm going with this. My dad used to say, when you really need something from God, where do you go? 7-Eleven. That's a convenient store here, and probably, I think 7-Eleven might be around the world, frankly. Okay, so Matthew 7-Eleven, easiest reference to remember, and it says, if you, imperfect as you are, you imperfect fathers, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, here's the statement I love. How much more ready is your heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? He wants to give you wonderful gifts if you'll simply ask. Now, first observation, for instance, is that, let me speak on behalf of dads and fathers everywhere. First of all, easier said than done, right? Easier to say you're a dad, say you're a father, than sometimes be a father and be a dad. And I must admit, right here on stage, preaching to community, there are days where I feel irritable as a father. I feel distracted as a father. And I superimpose upon my children irritability, distraction, randomness. I can't pay attention. I'm not present. I'm not listening. I'm not loving. I'm not caring. Absolutely. It seems like there's every single day, there's probably some point in my 12 to 14 hour day with my children where I'm not the best version of their dad. Well, Matthew 7:11 says, if you imperfect, I love how the Passion Translation says imperfect, because other translations say, if you being evil, the best dad on the planet is evil compared to the father of the entire universe, solar system, galaxies, known and unknown. He is the father of us all. But notice, how much more ready is your father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask? Which means you have a father, we're going to talk more about this extraordinary father, that you are never a distraction. You are never an irritant. You are never a nuisance. Come on, some of you dads, you know what I'm talking about. Dad, 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 Pastor Judah.
What?
Right, they got to call me by my pastor title sometimes just to get my attention. Do you know that you have a father and you always have his attention? You're never an irritant. You're never a distraction. You're never a nuisance. He is completely ready at all times, in all seasons, in all spaces and places. He is always ready to engage with you. Did you know that your relationship with your father is uniquely your relationship with your father? Father God, God reveals himself as a father. Throughout the Bible narrative, we see him likening himself to earthly fathers, but we are never to be misinformed or misunderstand. It is not like God is attempting to be a father like we have here on earth. It is that the fathers here on earth are attempting to be like the father of the whole earth. How much more ready, Matthew 7:11 says. How much more? If you earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more ready is your heavenly father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask? He welcomes your asking. He welcomes your engagement. He welcomes whatever you want to ask him, whatever you want to ask him for, no matter how small, no matter how massive, no matter how insignificant, no matter how over the top, whatever it is, God wants you to ask. He wants you to engage. He's always ready. He's always listening, and he's always attentive. If I'm really honest, this is already a completely good sermon. You have a father. That's really the announcement I'm making today, is you have a father. I want to say to every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice, you never had a dad. Your dad was not present. Your dad was not there. Your dad was not engaged. Your dad did not keep his word. Your dad did not follow through. Your dad broke it off with your mom. Your dad was never. I want you to know. Did you know you have a father? Your stand-in father did not follow through. But you have a true heavenly father who will never leave you nor forsake you. So, very typical in the ways of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, we have these two extremes. He's saying the best earthly dad is evil compared to the perfection and brilliance of the Father and his goodness. If you imperfect fathers know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, first of all, side note, where did you learn that? How did you know that? How did you have the, where did the impulse come to care for your children and love your children? That came from the Father. That came from the Father. How much more ready? How much more ready? How much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? A couple of observations that are going to be absolutely essential before we conclude this talk, this sermon, this message. And that is, number one, how much more is the statement really that sticks out to me? How much more? How much more? Which insinuates this transcendent nature of your Father. Now, I'm going to refer to God as your Father for the rest of this sermon because in reality, that is exactly what he is. Your Father. Judah, when you say your father, do you mean my earthly father? No, I mean your heavenly father. I mean God, your father. I mean the architect, the creator, the inventor of all things, the one who speaks and there is nothing and then there is everything. He speaks the world into existence. He hangs stars in the sky. He's put your DNA together. He gave you your lips, hips, and fingertips, and he chose your family unit, and he was going to be sufficient for you and enough for you, and he was going to guard you and keep you and watch over you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about God, your father. First observation, how much more happy is your father than your stand-in dad? How much more happy? How much more happy? How much more happy? How much more happy? We have superimposed upon this God. We think that because of our earthly fathers, because we are irritable, because we are agitated, because we sometimes seem to emanate that we have more important things to do than listen to the desires of our children to go to the toy store, that we assume that our heavenly father is very much the same. He's not always happy. He's angry and frustrated and agitated and irritable and always in a hurry and is very important in doing big and important things and cannot be bothered with children. In fact, this is so much a reality in fathers or men today that if you go back in time some 2,000 years ago when moms were bringing their children to Jesus so that he would bless them, the 12 disciples were so self-important, they said no. The Bible literally says they were actually shooing moms and children away from Jesus because he had more important things to do. Jesus was emphatic and he was adamant. No, let the children come unto me. Jesus displays to us God the Father. He is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. When we see Jesus, we have seen the Father. If we know Jesus, we know the Father. We know for Jesus, God the Father, are one. So we know that when earthly fathers don't have time for the petty things of children. God the Father welcomes you to sit in his presence, sit in his lap, and bare your soul and share your heart. Why? He is happy to be here with you. He's just happy. 21 years of marriage, and it never ceases to amaze me that when I put my phone away, when I put my computer away, in some cases, when I put my sermon notes away, then I give my undivided attention and affection to the love of my life, the wife of my youth, Chelsea Renee Smith. Without fail, after 21 years of marriage, there will be a moment where she will say, "This means so much to me. You are so ready and available to me and focusing on me." And of course, her love language is quality time. Sometimes I'm like, it'd be nice if it was gifts because I could just give her a gift and go golf. I'm kidding. Relax, church. It's a joke. But when I give her my undivided attention, there's value there. Do you know how happy God is to give you his attention? It thrills him. Do you know how happy God is? We don't talk about how happy God is enough. God is just happy. God is happy to be in your world. God is happy that you're alive. God is happy to engage with you. God is happy. God is happy. One of the reasons I think we don't go to God is we are convinced that God is just as irritable and angry as some of the experiences we've had with earthly dads. And the moment somebody says, "God is like your dad," something inside of you shudders at the thought that maybe God is like my dad. Maybe he's got big, massive, important things to do, and he's not real happy to hear from me all the time. But how much more happy is your heavenly Father than any earthly father you have ever met, ever known, ever seen, or even watched a fictional father on TV? He is happy. He's happy. Not only how much more happy is your true father, but here's another observation. How much more ready? Oh, I wish I was ready more as a dad. I wish I was ready more as a father. I wish I was ready. I don't like all the multiple tasks I try to do at once. I try to be in the living room or be in the kitchen and be with the family and be with the kids while also sending off a few emails and replying to a few texts and watching the Golf Channel or Sports Center out of the side of my eyes. And then I'm talking to my 14-year-old and saying hi to my 12-year-old and hugging my 16-year-old. But I'm not always ready. In fact, a lot of what I do as a dad is buying time. Dads, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, "Give me a second, baby, just give me a second. But hold on, just give me a second. Just, I'm not ready. Hold, wait, no, hold that thought. I just got to, let me send this text. Let me send. Okay, baby, what were you saying?" How much more ready? You know what you'll never get from God? You won't go to God and God will say, "Just give me a minute. I'm dealing with something in another country. I've got to help this president, this prime minister. I need, there's an upheaval in this particular country. Hold on a second. I know you would want to talk to me about food and clothing, but I'm over here moving governments." And he doesn't do that. He doesn't need to save himself for others. So he holds back part of himself from you. See, he's not like your dad. Hey, Zion, Elliot, and Grace, God's not like your dad. Your dad sometimes can be godly. Your dad sometimes can look like Jesus. But Jesus is your father. He's the good father. He's how much more ready? He's ready to what? He's ready to care. He's ready to care. Isn't that what we want today? We just want somebody to care. Does anybody care? Anybody at church home care? Can I go to pastor chat? Will somebody care?
Somebody care about where I live, care about my country, care about my life, care about my family, care about my career, care about my job, care about my body, care about my hearing, care about my seeing, care about my feeling, care about my living, caring about my loneliness, caring about my addiction, caring about my problems. Does anybody care?
Your father does. No, Judah, I never really knew my dad. Oh, I was talking about your heavenly father. I want you to think about the implications of this. When the disciples watched Jesus pray, they were so mesmerized by his practice, so mesmerized at the length even of his practice, that they finally got up the courage and they said, Jesus, you have to teach us to do that. What do you do when you do that? He says, thank you for asking. Here's how I want you to start. I want you to address God like such. Matthew 6, verse 9, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Our Father. He said, anytime, just like Matthew 7, 11, anytime you want to address God, call him Dad. Call him Father, because that, in fact, is what he is. I would like to suggest, I know you've already had this thought, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm hoping that this sermon will spur so many deep, profound, meaningful, important conversations, one with another in community. He says, I want you to call him what he identifies with you. He is your dad. He is your creator. He is your initiator. He is your father. He is your shepherd. He is your protector. He is your provider. He is your overseer. He is the truest father you have. Jesus says, when you talk to him, start by calling him dad. Why? Because he's ready to care. Waiting to share minutes and moments with you. You can check out of this sermon right now. I give you permission. You can check out of this sermon right now and just start talking to him. Go ahead. You don't need any more preaching. What you need is him. Start talking to him. Now, for those still interested, you can keep listening, but I'm just giving everybody an excuse right now to stop and just go call him Father. And then let come out of your heart the raw state of things inside of you. Our Father, yeah, how much more? How much more? How much more happy? How much more ready? How much more giving? How much more generous? How much more? How much more? There's a little statement I use when somebody gives me something or somebody does me a favor that I don't know very well. And it goes something like this, man, thank you so much. Listen, I owe you one. I owe you one. Let me tell you, my wife of 21 years is sitting right over here. Let me tell you what I never tell Chelsea when she does something for me. I owe you one. You know why? Because all of our giving and receiving is based on one primary thing, and that's called relationship. Now, people I don't have a close relationship with, when they do something for me, I see it more transactional in nature. Sometimes we do this subconsciously. We don't even realize we're doing it. When somebody I don't have a relationship with gives me something or does something for me, I say to them, listen, I'm going to do something for you because our relationship isn't at a level where we just do stuff for each other and don't even mention it. We actually have some sort of give and take here. This is, in fact, a transaction. We oftentimes treat God more like a stranger than an intimate father. You should listen to my kids when they ask other people's fathers for things. Excuse me, sir, Mr. So-and-so, could I? In my house, I wish they would call me sir and mister. Now, sometimes they do. I require it. But it's, hey, dad, yo, dad. I'm not saying they lack respect, but I'm saying there's an established comfortability in the loving relationship we have. God is, he's a giver. Not transactional in his giving, but relational in his giving. When he gives, there is no need. to say, God, I owe you one. Isn't that hilarious? Oh, you don't owe him one. You owe him all the ones. Everything. I love the statement we use, and I use it too, like, oh my word, this is my favorite scent, or this is my favorite art piece, or this is my favorite cologne, and we say this is everything. I just got these new glasses, and I'm like, oh, I like my new square. These glasses are everything, which they're not. But when it comes to God, is he not everything? And so his giving has no transactional nature to it. It's just a father lavishing onto his children wonderful things. And he anticipates the next time you will ask, how much more? I'm done. Here it is. Lastly, I see that how much more in Matthew 7:11, and I think to myself, how much more personal is your Heavenly Father? How much more personal? As a father in 2021, and I just want to shout out to all the dads out there, you're doing the best you know how. And I say thank you, sir. To all the dads sticking it out with their families and their children and their loved ones, I say thank you. We need you. We need you. But sometimes we as dads don't know how to connect with our children. Is it just me? Is the generational divide larger than it's ever been? I looked at my 16-year-old not too long ago and I said, son, no, nobody's been 16 in 2021 before. But you and everybody else who's 16. I said, do you know how hard it is to be 16 in 2021? You're extraordinary. Sometimes as a 42-year-old father, I look at my 16-year-old and I think to myself, how do I connect exactly? How much more intimate and personal is God? Do you know in John chapter 5, I think it's verse 17, do you know the first time that Jesus ever mentions God as Father? Do you know he says, every day my Father is at work and I will be too. Every day my Father, my Father. You know why he says that? Not for himself, not for the Father, but for you and for me. The first time Jesus ever says Father as a title for God, he says my before it. Not the Father, not even our Father, which he will give us in the Lord's Prayer. But first mention is mine, my, personal, intimate, caring, loving, generous, attentive, involved, active, my Father. Oh, church, is he your Father? He is your Father. But have you celebrated him as such? Have you expected him to be as much? Have you anticipated your Father's daily involvement in your life? I want you to think of the most incredible earthly father you've ever heard of or even watched in a movie. And I want you to use your imagination to think, what if that wonderful, caring, loving, invested, generous father was your father, your earthly father, and was doing all of those good things for you? How confident would you be? How bold would you be? How courageous would you be? How confident would you be if that earthly dad that you so esteem and look up to or even idolize from a movie or a television or somebody's dad that you heard of, if that was your dad and all the good things he does, he was doing for you, wouldn't that change your whole trajectory of living? That's in fact the goal of this sermon. That the Father of us all would become my Father, your Father. How much more personal? And I end here. As my children are fully teenagers, our baby girl just turned 12 recently. So we are now a house of 16, 14, and 12. Now keep in mind, the 14-year-old is 6'2". I'm pretty sure, don't tell him I said this, but I think at 14, he is already taller than me. We got big boys, my sweet little daughter, but they're quickly becoming young people. And I've made a decision, and Chelsea and I made a decision together to teach them something. That is one of the most important lessons I can ever give my children, and I would like to share it with you in hopes that it will help you and encourage you and strengthen you as well. And this is what I tell my children. Now, maybe because I break seven irons and I have an anger problem on the golf course, but this is what I've decided to tell them. Zion, Elliot, Grace, I want you to know that I love you. And yes, I am your earthly dad. As imperfect as I may be, it is one of my highest honors in life to be your mother's husband, and to be your dad is at the top of my list of what I get to do in this human experience. But I need to tell you something. I am a stand-in. That's what I am. Well, Dad, what do you mean? I'm temporary, boys. Baby girl, I'm temporary. Now, I may know this a little bit more familiar because at 30 years old, my stand-in earthly father, who I love, who is a hero to me to this day, was gone. And at 30 years old, I was either going to live with a heartache that wouldn't leave, or I was going to learn to wrap my arms around the truest father I've ever had. And though he died, he rose again. And that's my Heavenly Father. So I've told my children multiple times now, and I will continue to repeat this into their young adult years. I am your stand-in, and I am your temporary. My primary goal is to introduce you to your eternal Father. He will father you forever. We will see each other in eternity, and boy, will we love each other. But you and I will both know, in a place called eternity, that we are finally home with our Father. It's been said by so many preachers and so many communicators and so many writers and thinkers and singers and players and actors and actresses. It's been said we have a father problem, a father wound. And I'm sure that's true. But I want you to hear me say, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your true Heavenly Father lavish on you wonderful gifts to all his children who simply ask? We're going home soon, church. And when we go home, we will arrive and our Father will be there. And so we look forward to those days. But in the meantime, he is ever present. He is your Father. I know this may sound strange, and this sermon has gone at least 8 to 9 minutes longer than I thought it was, but I feel Jesus in this room right now. I actually believe, and I'm going to be very bold with this, and I don't mean to spook you out, but I believe there are people watching right now. Some are in cars, some are in parks, some are in living rooms, some are in cafes. And what you're experiencing right now is the sensation of the Father, your Father, my Father, wrapping his strong, cosmic, powerful arms around you and assuring you that you are his. You are not alone. Your Father is there. Your Father chooses you. Your Father loves you. Your Father is ready to help, protect, preserve, provide. He's a good Father. And all he does is good. He's a good Father. I want to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you. This is who you are. You are the Father of us all. We get so temporary in our mindset and our perspective, and we think that you're trying to be like our dads down here, when in reality, our dads down here are just trying to love like you. Your love is perfect. If you're watching this and you say, Judah, I would like to receive the free gift of forgiveness that only Jesus offers. Only the performance of Jesus can grant you friendship with the eternal Father. Only Jesus. For he paid the ultimate price for your error, your wrong, and your sin. And right now, by simply responding, you can lift your hand while you're watching this program right now and say, I receive Jesus as God, as the only one that can forgive me of my error, my wrong, and my sin, and I will never be the same again. That's your prayer. It's by raising your hand, that's it. And you'll never be the same. I love you, church home. And I am so proud to declare that we have a God who is a good, good Father. Love you.